Kati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyabadi Pastyatya Deshatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And as I always chant, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarar Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. Very good. Right now, what I'm showing on the internet are pictures from Bhagavad Gita instead of my ugly face. All right, so we are studying the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we're studying the final verse. And I always feel very, very happy whenever we finish a chapter here at Kundan Loka. And tonight we will definitely finish chapter 11. Chapter 11 is called The Universal Form. We recall early in this chapter that Arjuna requested Krishna to display. So when Arjuna requested Krishna, what did Krishna say to Arjuna? Did anybody remember? When Arjuna asked, what did Krishna respond? Who knows the answer? The answer is, Krishna said, yes, but you cannot see me with your present eyes. I have to give you the proper vision, the proper eyes, by which you can see my universal form. That was in the beginning of the chapter. Alright, so let's go to the last verse. If you're ready, everybody say Hari Bol. Alright, please repeat. Mat karma krin mat paramo. Are we ready? The final verse. The final verse. Everyone should be on the same page. Please. And those of you on the internet can also follow along. All right, are we ready now? Chapter 11, verse 55. Please repeat. Mat karma krin mat padamo. Mad bhakta sangha varjitaha. Nirvaira sarvabhuteshu. Ya samam eti pandava. Alright, let's do the synonyms, please repeat. Matkarma krit. Engaged in doing my work. So obviously this is Krishna speaking. And so this is significant that Krishna or God has work that he wants done in this material world. We learned in chapter 4, when Krishna comes to this material world, two kinds of activities he does. What are they? What are the two kinds of things? Why does Krishna come? To kill the demons. Very good. Yes, that was explained. There, you could say there's a third thing, or two more things. Destroy irreligion, and therefore establish real religion. These are the purposes why Krishna comes. When you learn Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, then you will be able to answer all my questions. So therefore, everyone should be, oh my God, I am so happy. Amit is here. Haribo. All right, Mr. Amit, you have to get your textbook. We are holding class. Yes, very good, Monica. Annihilate the evil. And Chakrarat says he loves this verse. Very good, Chakrarat. My friend Chakrarat, he loves Bhagavad Gita. It's his favorite, favorite book, Bhagavad Gita. All right, let's continue. So, engaged in doing my work. So, annihilating the demons, giving protection to the devotees, establishing religion and destroying irreligion. So, a devotee is one who does God's work. Yes or no? That's a devotee. Somebody who does God. So we should be doing that. Now the question is, how does Krishna want us to destroy the demons? Does he want us to strap dynamite to us and start doing suicide bombing? How does Krishna want us to kill the demons? By what activity? Chanting, preaching. Technically called Sankirtan. Because who is the avatar in the age of Kali? It's not Krishna. Who? Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the incarnation for the age of Kali. He's the Yuga avatar. You may recall when Jagai and Madai attacked Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya came and was going to kill them, but Nityananda said, not this time. We have a different game plan this time. When you were Krishna, yes, you were killing demons one after the other. From the minute Krishna appeared till the time he left, he was killing demons. But Nityananda said, in this incarnation, you have to deliver them. So that's how we kill the demons. We're not like these suicide bombers. That's not what Lord Chaitanya wants us to do. He wants to us to deliver the demons by preaching, Sankirtan. So either we go out in the street chanting, or you go out and give books. Prabhupada said, when you give out my books, it's like bombs dropping. Because we're destroying the age of Kali. Prabhupada used that terminology. He said, in World War II, the Germans were dropping bombs like anything. Prabhupada said, that's how I want my books distributed, like bombs. Just distribute, distribute, distribute. That was the exact terminology and idea Prabhupada used. That's not my example. That's Prabhupada himself. So by distributing books, distributing prasadam, doing Sankirtan Harinam, or doing Bhaktivedanta Yoga Samaj programs. This is Sankirtan. All in favor say Haribo. So if you can do any of that, then you're doing Krishna's work. Alright, next word. Mat Paramaha. Considering me the Supreme. Repeat. Yes, that is a very important concept. In order for one to be a perfect human being, the person must come to the conclusion, Krishna, you are the Supreme. For me, that was sometime in February 1973 in Columbus, Ohio. After reading 6 chapters of Krishna book, I closed the book and I decided, Krishna is God, I'm surrendering. Jai. Next word, mat bhaktaha. Engaged in my devotional service. So, devotional service belongs to Krishna. Bhakta, devotional service is rendered to God. Demigod, that's demigod worship. That's not devotional service. Devotional service, bhakti, is reserved for the Supreme Lord, where you give service. Next word, sangha varjitaha. Freed from the contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation. So, these two things are considered contaminating. Contaminating means the heart is still dirty. The heart is not cleansed. Fruitive activities. What does that mean? I'm doing something because I see myself as the enjoyer. I will work hard to get money, and when I get that money, I will enjoy my senses. That's fruitive activities. There are two kinds of fruitive activities, pious and impious. Two categories, but the object is the same. What's in it for me? Then the other one, mental speculation. Mental speculation means I am thinking, intellectualizing, philosophizing how in some way I am as good as God. Mental speculation, the goal of mental speculation is to think of oneself as good as God, becoming one with the Supreme. But here, this is contamination. The devotee doesn't want to do fruitive activities, does not want to speculate. The devotee wants to be engaged in Krishna's devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting. Next word, nirvairaha, without an enemy. Now, this has something as follows. It is said that Maharaj Yudhishthira was a Jata Shatru, meaning for Yudhishthira that nobody was an enemy. But many people considered Yudhishthira their enemy, namely Duryodhan. But as far as Yudhishthira was concerned, I don't have any enemies, because Yudhishthira was a great pure devotee of Krishna. So somebody who is a great devotee of Krishna has no enemies. Why? Because you've learned earlier in Bhagavad Gita, Pandita Sama Darshanaha. The devotee sees everyone equally. How does he see everyone equally? Because everyone is Krishna's part and parcel. Just like you have two sons. You don't play favorites. You love both of your sons. Right? You're equal to both your sons. Krishna is the same way. All of us are His children. Krishna has no enemies, but the demons see Krishna as their enemy. But Krishna, how can Krishna hate anyone? Can anyone compete with Krishna? Can anyone be equal to Krishna? Is there anyone not part and parcel of Krishna? So Krishna has no problems. But some people find Krishna to be an enemy. And Krishna says, oh, you want me to be your enemy? Okay, I'll be your enemy. Come on, let's fight. And I'll kill you. Then I'll deliver you. See how nice Krishna is? Even though you are envious of him, if Krishna kills you, he gives you liberation. Beginning with Putana, Trinavarta, all the demons, they came to attack Krishna, and Krishna delivered them. Let's go to the next word. Sarvabhuteshu. Among all living entities. So we have another contingency here. The Patels have come. Let's say Haribol to the Patels. Are you also a Patel? All right. So we have the Patels here. Very good. All right. Next word. Ya. One who. Sa. He. Mam. Unto me. Eti. Comes. Pandava, O son of Pandu. So let's look at Prabhupada's translation. We should always remember that this is Bhagavad Gita as it is. And because it's Bhagavad Gita as it is, we're getting it from the lotus mouth of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. We're now up to 16 devotees online. Everybody say Hari Bol. I'm so happy. Please repeat. We're on the last verse of chapter 11. Last verse of chapter... What page is this? So, last verse of chapter... Are you ready? Please repeat. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. So before we go to Prabhupada's purport, let me give you the Nirantara Das explanation. Thank you, Krishna Kumar. So, the first thing, you have to be engaged in pure devotional service. Therefore, Prabhupada, in the translation, is now telling you, what does that mean? Pure devotional service means free from fruitive activities and mental speculation. In the verse that is generally used, the verse that is found in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it's also there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadyanavritam. Anukulyena. Anukulyena means favorable. So not only has to be free from fruitive activities, and it has to be free from mental speculation, it also has to be favorable to Krishna. It may not be necessarily favorable to you. But the devotee's concern is it favorable to Krishna? You've heard me say billions of times. Radharani says, if there's something I like, but Krishna doesn't like it, I hate that thing. Radharani then says, if there's something Krishna likes, and I don't like it, that's my favorite thing. That is favorable devotional service. So the devotee is wanting to do service that is favorable to Krishna's senses. For instance, I'll give you a practical. Husband and wife. Sometimes the husband has to do things for the wife and the family that may be very difficult for him, or may be very hard, or just he may not like to do it, but because it's necessary for the family, he does it. Right, Krishna Kumar? There are days when you don't feel like going to work, but you know, I gotta do my duty. I have to do my prescribed duty. Ladies are the same way. Say it's very, very hot. You may not feel like cooking, but no matter how hot, no. I have to feed my family. I have to feed Krishna. Just like in Vrindavan. When I went to Vrindavan in 1975, the temple had a wood stove. They were cooking with cow dung and firewood. Even in June, July, August. You know how hot it is in Vrindavan. So the devotee can't say, it's too hot to cook. The deities have to be fed 6 times a day. No matter how, or similarly, in winter, Vrindavan is very cold. Very, very cold. And you cannot say, it's too cold. I don't want to do my service. Uh-uh. You have to get up and do your service. So it's favorable to Krishna. It may not necessarily be favorable to me, but if you want to do pure devotional service, then that is what is required. Now, the next part. Who makes me the supreme goal of life? Now, how many people do you know have come to this conclusion that Krishna is the supreme goal of their life? Most people will say, the supreme goal of life, money, fame. If we were to ask Romney right now, Mr. Romney, what is the supreme goal of your life? What's he going to say? I want to be president. He's not going to say, oh no, the supreme goal of my life is to render pure devotional service to Krishna. But a devotee says like that. How many of you can say, honestly, yes, Krishna is the supreme goal of my life? Yes, otherwise you wouldn't be here. If Krishna was not the supreme goal of your life, you would say, go to a program. I got better things to do. But those who have made Krishna the supreme goal of their life, they will attend. Who is friendly to every living being? Because everyone has Krishna in their heart. Yes or no? Everyone has Krishna in your heart. It may be hard to see that in some people. You may look at some people and say, how could Krishna be in their heart? I don't know how it's possible. But the fact of the matter is, the devotee knows Krishna is in everyone's heart. He certainly comes to me. So, the whole goal of Bhagavad Gita, the whole goal of this Krishna consciousness movement is to come to Krishna. That's what we're doing. So keep that in mind. Whatever you're doing, keep that in mind. I'm doing this so that I can come back to Krishna. Because doesn't Prabhupada say that? Back where? Not back to Brahman. Does Prabhupada say back to Brahman? Does Prabhupada say back to Shiva Loka? Does Prabhupada say back to India? What does he say? Yes. So we are going back to Krishna from where we came from. So that is the goal of this Krishna consciousness movement. To return back home, back to God. And now we have 20. They're just coming. Haribo. Because Krishna Akundan Loka is world famous. All right, let's look at the purport. If you're ready for the purport, say Haribo. Yes, everyone should have a book to follow along. We're studying the final verse of chapter 11, purport. Who wrote this purport? Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personalities of Godhead. Wow. So there are many personalities. Ram, Nisringa, Vaman, right? These are all personalities of Godhead, yes? But the supreme of all on the Krishna Loka planet. That's Krishna Loka, Krishna Kumar. This is Kundan Loka. This is Krishna Loka. On the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality, Krishna. Notice that word, intimately. This is wonderful. Not that God is going to be very distant to you. No, intimately. Just like a husband and wife, when they first get married, at a certain point, and as the marriage grows, they become intimate. When there's first marriage, there's not intimacy. But as time goes on, they become intimate. So we are meant to become intimate with Krishna. Why? He's a person. I don't become intimate with my iPod. You don't become intimate with a thing. Intimacy is with another person. That's intimacy. Since Krishna is a person, you can become... So who wants to be intimate with Krishna? I do. Right behind me, you see the perfection of intimacy with Krishna. What's behind me? Rasalila. There's your intimacy with Krishna. The description is the gopis were dancing with Krishna cheek to cheek. That's pretty close, isn't it? How many of you did the Snana Yatra last week? Did you get up close? You were this close to Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, weren't you? And then your hands were right above, weren't you? You were very intimate with Jagannath, Balaram. That's why I love that Snana. You gotta go. Once a year, right? You gotta go. If you do Snana Yatra, you will never be the same. Trust me. And in fact, I guarantee, afterwards you'll be crying. So next year, you come with me. This year, I took one of my sons, JD, with me. And his mind was blown, because he had never done. And I took him with, come, JD, come. You're going to Snana Yatra next year. I don't want to hear no nonsense. All in favor, say Hari Bol. Because you will see Jai Krishna Das there as Pujari. And then he will give you this big smile. Right? You will bless him. Next year you're coming. I don't want to hear no excuse. You understand? Just say yes. Thank you. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. Jai. Alright. So, one who wants to be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality, Krishna, must take this formula as stated by the Supreme Himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So, you picked a good day to come to Kundan Loka. This is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. You will see that Prabhupada says there are other verses which are considered the essence, but this is one of them, this verse. Now Prabhupada explains, the Bhagavad Gita is a book directed to the conditioned souls. Who here is a conditioned soul? Nobody. Who's liberated? There's only two choices. You're either conditioned or liberated. A or B. There's no in between. I'm partially liberated. No, you're either conditioned or liberated. All right. Who are engaged in the material world with the purpose of lording it over nature and who do not know of the real spiritual life. So if the real life is spiritual, then what kind of life is the material life? Yes. False, illusory, unreal. Yes, that's why. Have you not heard me over the past years? What do I say? This material world is like a dream. Right? It's not a reality. Here, Prabhupada is saying, the real spiritual life. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality. So notice, you have an eternal relationship with Krishna. That means it always was there, it's now, and it will always be there. Technically that's called Swarupa Siddhi. It already exists. What has happened now? What's happened? If it's already existing, what about now? It's covered. Good. Or you can say, we have forgotten it. That's all. It's there. For instance, Meenakshi, Rajarani Devi Dasi. You have two boys. God forbid, knock on wood, but it could happen. Your two boys, they go to college. and you don't see them for many years, does that mean their relationship with you doesn't exist? It's there. They may not see you. They may even forget you, but you're not going to forget your boys, are you? It's impossible. You gave birth to them. You know what it was like to give birth to them. Something you will never forget. So their relationship with you and your husband, it's an established fact. They may forget, they may deny. That's never going to happen, but it could. It happens, right? Okay, but the fact of the matter is, at some point, if they come to their senses, oh, we should come back, you'll take them with open arms, yes? Because that relationship is established. Similarly, your relationship with Krishna is already an established fact. You were never born, yes or no? Do you accept the fact that you always existed? Were you always a person? Yes or no? No, you weren't always a person? So you were always a person. Is Krishna always a person? So your relationship with Krishna always existed. Right now, we're in spiritual amnesia. We have forgotten. So that's why Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jago, wake up. I have come to remove this forgetfulness of Krishna. In many places, Prabhupada uses this exact terminology. Forgetfulness of your original relationship with Krishna. That's all it is. Forgetfulness of your, and by hearing, chanting, taking initiation, coming to programs, doing devotional activities, little by little, your eternal relationship will again be revealed. And when it's revealed, you'll be like this, Aribo! That is the goal. Why do you think we're chanting? We're chanting so that we can come to the point of understanding what is my original service relationship with Krishna. That's the impetus for doing japa every day. Because I'm one Hare Krishna away. All I have to do is chant once Hare Krishna without offense. Hare Krishna. Okay, come on. So we're tied with LA with 19 devotees online. Let's see who's ahead of us. Only Mayapur is ahead of us. Mayapur's got 90. Oh, LA jumped up. They're number 20 now. We're one behind. We're in third place. Anyway, we got to keep chanting. All right. So, your relationship with Krishna is already there. And this process of Krishna consciousness means reawakening. All right, let's continue with the purport. This is a big purport. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality. Who's that? Krishna. And to teach one how to go, what's that word? Back home, back. So twice he's using that word, back. You all know what that word means, right? Back. You go back to somewhere where you were once before. Return. You cannot go back to some place you never were. Then people would say, boy, this guy doesn't understand English. You go back only to some place that you were previously. That's the meaning of back. All right. Now, here in this verse, which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity. Answer, devotional service. I have mentioned many times that there are several verses, three or four verses in the Bhagavad Gita. You want to see Krishna? Devotional service. You want to know Krishna? You want to understand Krishna? You want to go back to Krishna? No other option. This is the... Right? So on this point, we're obstinate. There are no other options. It's only devotional service. Otherwise, no. Let's continue. As far as work is concerned, one should transfer his energy entirely to Krishna conscious activities, as stated in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anasaktasya Vishayan Yatarham Upayunjata Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchite. So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu means Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was direct disciple of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya instructed him for 10 days straight on the science of Krishna. Okay? So Prabhupada now explains. No work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna karma. One may be engaged in various activities, but one should not be attached to the result of his work. The result should be done only for him. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. If a businessman is in possession of thousands and thousands of dollars, and if he has to offer all this to Krishna, he can do it. This is work for Krishna. Instead of constructing a big building for his sense gratification, he can construct a nice temple for Krishna, and he can install the deity of Krishna and arrange for the deity service, as is outlined in the authorized books of devotional service. This is called Krishna karma. So, Krishna Kumar, you got this house. You established an altar. Are you working for Krishna? Yes. Meenakshi, you made, you rearranged your house, you added, right? You had construction. Now you have nice big room for Krishna. Now you have big hall for programs. Are you working for Krishna? Very good. Excellent. One should not be attached to the result of work, but the result should be offered to Krishna. And one should accept as prasadam the remnants of offerings to Krishna. If one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there, but it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. I've been to hundreds of Indian homes to do programs. I always make it a habit. Oh, Mr. Such and Such, you have a nice house. No, Prabhuji, this is Krishna's house. Everybody says that. Whether it's here, Panama, Chile, without exception, everyone says, no, Prabhu, this is for Krishna. That's good though. That's good that one thinks like that. This is called Krishna consciousness. If, however, one is not able to construct the temple for Krishna, one can engage himself in cleansing the temple of Krishna. That is also Krishna karma. Last year I spent a week or so in the New Jersey ISKCON temple. So I was very, very impressed. When they did the Sunday feast, the Indian householder congregation, they served out the feast, cooked the feast, and then when all the guests left, they cleaned the temple, took care of the whole thing. So this sentence reminds me of that. Was the whole Indian congregation, because only a few devotees lived in the temple. But the whole Sunday feast, from top to bottom, was all done by the congregation. Many of them were initiated, but still, they took care of everything. I was just very, very impressed how nicely they cooperated. Let's continue. One can cultivate a garden. Anyone who has land, in India at least, any poor man has a certain amount of land, can utilize that for Krishna by growing flowers to offer him. Who brought flowers today? Meenakshi, you brought flowers from your garden? Excellent. One can sow tulsi plants because tulsi leaves are very important and Krishna has recommended this in Bhagavad Gita. Patrang pushpam phalam toyam. Krishna desires that one offer him either a leaf, a flower, fruit, or a little water, and by such an offering he is satisfied. This leaf especially refers to the tulsi. And I have done many times the story of tulsi. And every year when we do that katha, we learn how special is tulsi. Very, very, very special. This leaf especially refers to the tulsi. So one can sow tulsi and pour water on the plant. Thus, even the poorest man can engage in the service of Krishna. These are some of the examples of how one can engage in working for Krishna. The word Mat Paramaha refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in his supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. Such a person does not wish to be elevated to the higher planets, such as the moon, or sun, or heavenly planets, or even the highest planet of this universe, Brahma Loka. He has no attraction for that. He is only attracted to being transferred to the spiritual sky. For instance, I've said many times, when Rukmini was writing her letter to Krishna, in that letter she said, Krishna, if I cannot have you as my husband, then I am prepared to take birth 100 times until I can become your wife. That is an example of what Prabhupada just wrote. That such a person considers achieving Krishna's association the supreme perfection of life. There's another story in the same vein. There was a follower of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya found out that he was sometimes associating with Mayavadis. So Lord Chaitanya told his associates, I don't want to see him anymore. I don't want to see his face. So the devotees went to that devotee and said, Prabhu, sorry, Lord Chaitanya doesn't want to see you. So the devotee said, he doesn't want to see me? And they said, well, so they went back to Lord Chaitanya and said, Lord, you know, we told him what you said. Is there any chance that you'll see him? Lord Chaitanya said, maybe in 1,000,000 births. So they went back to this devotee and said, Lord Chaitanya said, maybe you will see him in 1,000,000 births. He went, in 1,000,000 births? Jai! At least there's a chance one day I will get to see Lord Chaitanya again. That's how a devotee thinks. Because they have no other desire. I just want to be reunited. Mothers, if they are separated from their children, does it matter? They must be reunited. A loving husband and wife, if they really love each other, they may be separated, but they will wait for that day when they will be reunited. Residents of Vrindavan, right? They waited their whole lives for Krishna to return. Then finally one day, after Krishna killed Dantavakra, I read that story this week. After Krishna killed Dantavakra, that's when Krishna returned to Vrindavan, and when he returned, they all went back to Godhead. Very good. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. Let's finish. He is only attracted to being transferred to the spiritual sky. And even in the spiritual sky, he is not satisfied with merging into the glowing Brahma Jyoti effulgence. Why? What else? That's good. It's temporary. What else? It's not the highest. What else? What's the real reason? Yes, but there's... what is the real thing why the devotee doesn't want it? Yes, but you're missing... why? What is it that really... why the devotee does not want it? You're missing the real... these things are correct. But the real reason... that's what he said. But that's not it. That's it. No service. That's the real thing. There's no service. Jai Krishna Das, you like going to the temple, yes? You like going to New Dwarka. But if you were told, no more altar service, how are you going to feel? You'll die. Right? Because you like that service. Right? If I'm told, Narantara, no more preaching, I'll die. Right? The devotee lives for service. That's the real thing. These other things you said were correct, but the real thing that nails it, the devotee lives for service. And you've heard me say, and I'll say it again, if you get a service, hold on to that service, don't let it go. Keep your service. Just like coming through the door any minute now will be the Garmalkar family. So you all know Ananda Vrindavan, right? So now for the past, she got Brahman initiation on Ramachandra's appearance day. Since then, she has been doing deity worship at Laguna Beach. And now she's doing more. And you see the change in her face, right? She has become completely transformed. And as soon as you ask her about her deity service, you get this big smile on her face, and she loves to tell you how she likes doing her deity service. Now, if you ask her, oh, Mataji, we are thinking no more deity, thunderbolt will come from her eyes. She got her service. So if you get your service, don't do anything to jeopardize it. I prayed for this service that I'm doing now. I prayed for it in Vrindavan in 1988. I finally got it in 1994. It took 6 years I had to wait. So sometimes you have to wait. But when you get your service, keep it, hold it, hoard it, and don't let go. As Bhakti Siddhanta told his disciples on his deathbed, Bhakti Siddhanta told her disciples, do not give up your service, which is your all and all. You know what that expression, all and all, means? That means your very life exists. For instance, for me, doing my preaching, that's my all and all. For Krishna Kumar, yes, is your all in all, and also your devotional life, right? But without EES, things would be difficult, correct? So Bhakti Siddhanta emphasized that don't give up your service. Again, Monica Sharma says, I am praying one day I can come to Kundan Loka. So, very good. Shall we finish the purport? Everybody enjoying? Thank you. Chant the Maha Mantra. And even in the spiritual sky, he is not satisfied with merging into the glowing Brahmajyoti effulgence, for he wants to enter the highest spiritual planet, namely Krishna Loka, Golokam Vrindavan. He has full knowledge of that planet, and therefore he is not interested in any other. As indicated by the word Mad Bhaktaha, he fully engages devotional service, specifically in the 9 processes of devotional engagement: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers, carrying out the orders of the Lord, making friends with Him, and surrendering everything to Him. When I see this carrying out the orders, there is the story of Madhavendra Puri. Krishna appeared to him 3 times in dreams, and in those dreams, Krishna gave him orders. The first order was, I am stuck in these bushes, extricate me. It's been long time since I've had a bath. Get me out of the bushes and bathe me. So they did anakut. Madhavendra Puri did anakut. Okay? Then Krishna appeared to him again in a dream and said, you know, you did the bath, but I'm still hot. I need chandan to cool me. But the chandan was hundreds of miles away. So Madhavendra Puri had to travel hundreds of miles to get chandan for Krishna. And that wasn't easy because he had to carry. And what was the problem? The toll keepers. The Muslims were, like we have the toll roads. What happens at a toll road? You have to pay. And these toll roads, sometimes they, not only did you pay, but sometimes they confiscated your property. Or sometimes they killed you. That happened back then. It still happens? So, when Madhavendra Puri traveled hundreds of miles to get the sandalwood, Krishna, being so kind, appeared to him again and said, you know what? You don't have to carry this heavy load. Apply the sandalwood to the deity where you are now, and that's as good as offering to me. Isn't Krishna nice? But he made him do all this. He wanted to test how Madhavendra Puri was dedicated. When he passed the test, then Krishna said, okay, the sandalwood that you collected, apply it to this deity, because that deity and me were the same. That's Krishna. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. Jai. Carrying out the orders, making friends with him, and surrendering everything to him. One can engage in all 9 devotional processes, or 8, or 7, or at least in 1, and that will surely make one perfect. The term Sangavarjita is very significant. One should disassociate himself from persons who are against Krishna. Not only are the atheistic persons against Krishna, but so also are those who are attracted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. Therefore, the pure form of devotional service is described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. This is the verse I was mentioning previously. Please repeat. Anyabhilashita shunyam bolo. Jnana karma jnanavritam anakulyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktir uttama. In this verse, Srila Rupa Goswami clearly states that if anyone wants to execute unalloyed, unalloyed means nothing added. Do you want alloyed ghee or unalloyed ghee? Which one you want? Right. If you're buying, let's say, a diamond, you want to get the diamond that has the highest carats, right? Because that means it's pure. Because they have different degrees, right? Some diamonds are not as shiny as others. It's not pure. All right. One must be freed from all kinds of material contamination. One must be freed from the association of persons who are addicted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. When freed from such unwanted association and from the contamination of material desires, one favorably cultivates knowledge of Krishna. That is called pure devotional service. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. One should think of Krishna and act for Krishna favorably, not unfavorably. Kamsa was an enemy of Krishna's. From the very beginning of Krishna's birth, Kamsa planned in so many ways to kill him. And because he was always unsuccessful, he was always thinking of Krishna. Thus, while working, while eating, and while sleeping, he was always Krishna conscious in every respect. But that Krishna consciousness was not favorable. And therefore, in spite of his always thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, he was considered a demon, and Krishna at last killed him. Of course, anyone who is killed by Krishna attains salvation immediately. But that is not the aim of the pure devotee. The pure devotee does not even want salvation. He does not want to be transferred even to the highest planet Goloka Vrindavan. His only objective is to serve Krishna wherever he may be. Same thing Lord Chaitanya says. Mama janmani, janmani shrede, bhavatad bhaktir, ahoitiki twayi. A devotee of Krishna is friendly to everyone. Therefore it is said here that he has no enemy near Vaira. How is this? A devotee situated in Krishna consciousness knows that only devotional service to Krishna can relieve a person from all the problems of life. See, this is how one becomes a preacher. When you come to this point where you fully agree, no one will be happy unless they come to devotional service, then you become a preacher. He has personal experience of this, and therefore he wants to introduce this system, Krishna consciousness, into human society. That was Prabhupada. Why did Prabhupada come? He wanted to introduce Krishna consciousness to the world, starting with the United States of Malechas and Yavanas. That's where he started, because India wasn't interested. Prabhupada tried. India said, "Yeah, please, we want technology." So Prabhupada came. Isn't that true? They didn't want Krishna God. They wanted technology. Now they got it. They got their technology. Right. So Prabhupada went and established Krishna consciousness. That's all he wanted to do. Spread Krishna consciousness. There are many examples in history of devotees of the Lord who risked their lives for spreading of God consciousness. The favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. Why? Why? What else? Spirit soul. Can you kill the soul? Besides that, you're right. Right. But The soul cannot be killed. Similarly, in India also, there are many examples, such as Thakur Haridas and Prahlad Maharaj, right? Was Prahlad Maharaj persecuted? Right? Thakur Haridas was also. So why such risk? Because they wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, and it is difficult. Ask Prabhupada how difficult. It was very difficult. 1 year practically, no results. Those who have gone out and done book distribution will tell you, sometimes you go out all day, you can't distribute one book. People call you names, people spit at you. The next day you go out, everybody glorifies you. You do 100 books. Everybody, Jai Hari Bol. Next day, not one book. That's Krishna. I know devotees that have gone through that. It happens. A Krishna conscious person knows that if a man is suffering, it is due to his forgetfulness of his eternal relationship with Krishna. We talked about that in the beginning, didn't we? Forgetfulness of his what relationship? Eternal. Eternal means back, present, and future. That's eternal. It was always there, it's there now, and it will be there in the future. Simply forgetfulness. Therefore, the highest benefit one can render to human society is relieving one's neighbor from all material problems. In such a way, a pure devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord. Now we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaged in his service, risking everything for him. Therefore, it is certain that such persons must reach the supreme planet after leaving the body. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, we believe, is back home with Krishna. Did he not sacrifice to spread Krishna consciousness? In summary, so this now finishing up. In summary, the universal form of Krishna, which is a temporary manifestation, and the form of time, which devours everything. Didn't we learn that in this chapter? That time destroys everything, right? You remember that? When Arjuna asked, "Who are you? What is your mission?" He said, "Time, and I've come to destroy." And even the form of Vishnu, four-handed, have all been exhibited by Krishna. Yes, when Arjuna was tired of seeing universal form, Krishna then showed his what? Four, and then the two-handed form. The Saumya Vapu. Do you remember that phrase? You remember that? The beautiful form. Thus, Krishna is the origin of all these manifestations. Key point, Krishna is the origin. You've heard me say as a joke, don't be dyslexic. Krishna does not come from Brahman. The Brahman comes from, don't be dyslexic. Right? Narayan comes from Krishna. Not that Krishna comes from Narayan. Because you can go to many places in South India, they will tell you, no. Krishna comes from Narayan. Alright? But don't you be dyslexic. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Everyone say. Very good. At least my students should know that without any doubt. Alright. It is not that Krishna is a manifestation of the original Vishvarupa or Vishnu. Krishna is the origin of all forms. There are hundreds and thousands of Vishnu, but for a devotee, no form of Krishna is important, but the original form, two-handed, Shyama Sundara. Right? In the Brahma Sanhita, it is stated that those who are attached to the, what's the word? form of Krishna in love and devotion can see him always within the heart and cannot see anything else. One should understand, therefore, that the purport of this 11th chapter is that the form of Krishna is essential and supreme. Let's do it together. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the universal form. I am so happy when we finish a chapter here at Kundan Loka. We started with verse 1. Now we have finished chapter 11. It's beautiful. Beautiful. I'm so happy today. 2003. Jai. And when we finish Bhagavad Gita, we have to have a big party. Big party. Jai. In Dodger Stadium. No, Angels. Angels is closer. Angels Stadium. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra. Meenakshi Vrajarani, I want you to chant and melt everyone's heart. Come. Oh, if you have questions, then that's different. Yeah. Then the second time was that he was sent to get the sandalwood. Then the third time was when he got the sandalwood, but he was not home. So the third time Krishna said, you don't have to bring the sandalwood to me. That was the third time. Okay? Then there's another incident. The incident was in the beginning, before even the dreams, Madhavendra Puri was chanting. And he was not even begging. So he was just chanting, wasn't eating. Some little village boy came and said, who are you? And Madhavendra Puri said, oh, I am sannyasi. And so the little boy said, oh, some ladies told me I have brought you some milk. He said, drink the milk and I'll come back later for the bowl. So Madhavendra Puri drank the milk, was very delicious, but the boy never came back. So the sun started to set, so he just kept chanting throughout the whole night. At some point he started to doze off. In a dream, that's when Krishna told him to find him in the bushes. So when Madhavendra Puri woke up, he realized that boy who brought me the milk was, and he didn't even recognize. In the dream, he revealed. So that's all part of. When I was in South India, back in 2008 or 2009, whenever I went, I was invited to speak at a temple. And their sampradaya was Madhavendra Puri. He is like in their sampradaya. It's a Madhvacharya temple. So I told this story. And it just so happens that when I told the story, their present acharya was listening. And after my lecture, he said to everyone that he was very pleased to see that somebody from ISKCON can explain this story, because they all know this story. It's Madhavendra Puri. It's like their Prabhupada. So he was very impressed that I was able to tell the story, and he gave me many, many blessings. I was very, very happy. It was a young, like 20-year-old sannyasi. But he told everybody, he said, yes, very nice the way he has described. And I was just explaining it from how Prabhupada. Huh? No, not an Udupi. Somewhere in Bangalore. In somewhere in Bangalore, not Udupi. That deity, I'm not sure. It may be. I'll look it up. I'll look it up. Huh? No. We're talking about the deity with Madhavendra Puri. I will look that up right now. You now sing. Everybody like that idea? Did everybody happy? Did you like Bhagavad Gita? Are you happy? Do I get your blessings? All right. Meenakshi, Vrajarani, you sing.